After the movie Free Willy became a hit, word got out that the star of the film, a killer whale named Keiko, was sick and still living in a tiny pool in a Mexican amusement park. Fans were outraged. Kids demanded his release. I'm Daniel Alarcón. From Serial Productions and the New York Times comes The Good Whale, a story about the wildly ambitious science experiment to return Keiko to the ocean. Listen to new episodes on Thursdays. Want early access to the whole show? Subscribe to The Times at nytimes.com/podcasts to listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
It's 7:30 in the morning on Saturday in Kyiv. Last night, President Zelensky was standing outside the government building and trying to reassure his people. He was standing with other government officials. He was holding the phone. It was kind of shaky. And he said, good evening. The head of the fraction is here. The head of the presidential office is here.
Premier-minister Шмигаль тут.
The prime minister is here.
Подоляк тут. Президент тут.
I'm here.
Всі ми тут.
And points to each of the men standing behind him.
Громадяни суспільства тут. Всі
and
ми тут.
He's telling people we're here.
Нашу державу, так?
We're going to defend our country.
Слава нашим захисникам. Слава нашим захисницям. Слава Україні.
Слава Україні. Слава. Слава.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Over the weekend, the battle between Russian and Ukrainian forces came to Ukraine's capital of Kyiv, transforming a once vibrant, bustling city into a war zone. And the question was, would the Russian military quickly overrun the city, or would Ukrainians, despite being outgunned, somehow find a way to defend it? Once again, Sabrina Tavernisi reports from Kyiv. It's Monday, February 28th.
It's 10 a.m. in Kyiv. I'm walking out to the main street in front of the hotel. I just saw an ambulance go by. Another ambulance go by. A fair number of cars on the street this morning. We're on our way to a blood bank and a recruiting center where people are getting guns and volunteering in civilian defense forces. It was a really loud night. There was fighting as close as the zoo, which is kind of in the western part of the city. So Russian forces reached quite far, in fact, into Kyiv last night. And it was there was also small arms fire, which might have been a kind of a saboteur group of Russian soldiers or fighters not far from the hotel. I heard that one as well. Several times during the night, big explosions and... Yeah, we're going to go out and check things out this morning. Okay. So I'm standing outside an office where people are signing up to do territorial defense work or receive weapons. People, the line is quite long. It's sort of a courtyard, a lot of men milling around. Holding rifles on their backs, guarding the gate. The man says, where do we sign up? And this gentleman is sending him to a different building. Okay, I'm going to go try to talk to some people who have come to sign up.
Hello. Hi. My name is Sabrina. I'm a journalist from the New York Times. Can I talk to you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
My name is Andrei.
Hi, Andrei. Why are you here today?
Why am I here? Okay. I'm living here, just in that area.
Oh, right here. This is where you live. This neighborhood.
Yeah.
What's it called, Andrei? This neighborhood.
It's Tatarka.
Tatarka.
And I feel I need to protect my house, my home place. They think they get us free, but it's lie. It's completely lie, because they want to destroy us. They're quite stupid, because for all of that time, for 30 years, they didn't identify us as a nation. But it's true. We are.
They always said, oh, Ukraine's not a nation. But Ukraine is a nation.
Ukraine is. So they need to kill a lot of people to kill nation. And it's not possible. Just not possible.
Walking along the site of this really major firefight. There's an Ukrainian position dug in over the railroad tracks, and there's debris all over the street, pieces of branches, pieces of concrete. Looks like various glass shrapnel. Oh, wow. My God. Oh, my God. Look at the truck. So, a major, major firefight here. Two trucks, look like two transport trucks. Very, very strong smell of burned, maybe tires, rubber. Two completely burned out and just smoldering transport trucks. There's a kind of a slick, oily stain around one of them. Right now, they're Ukrainian soldiers picking through the wreckage of the two trucks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Ukrainian soldiers. They're putting what looks like munitions in small wooden boxes that they have salvaged from this firefight. Andrew, what time is it? It's about 1 p.m. in Kyiv on Saturday. This is the sound of a Ukrainian soldier digging positions above the highway.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Lydia. Vesa.
Nice
to meet you. Times. Nice to meet you. Are you, you're digging a position here?
Yes, yes.
What's your name?
Alexander.
Alexander, nice to meet you. Why are you doing this?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't want to die. This problem in Ukraine. Yep. Я не могу просто это объяснить по-русски. По-русски можно?
Да.
Ну как, мы не хотим умирать.
We don't want to die.
И мы понимаем, что война неизбежная, так как наш враг сейчас в Киеве.
And
мы укрепляем позиции.
And we understand that war is inescapable now, so we're digging in positions.
Это не то, что она неизбежная, она уже началась.
The war, it's not that it's inescapable, it's already started.
Yes, yes. И мы должны защитить всех тех мирных жителей.
We have to protect all of the peaceful people who stayed here and who are trying to leave Kyiv so that they can peacefully leave. Саша, спасибо большое. Вам сколько лет?
Вам спасибо. Мне 29.
I'm 29 years old. Саша, у вас кровь в щеке? Саша has some blood on his cheek. He said it's just a scratch. Bye, Саша. Удачи.
Bye-bye.
I think we should try to talk to them.
God, that is really quite terrifying sight. These trucks, God. God. Hello.
Hello. Documents.
Documents? Yes.
Yes.
My documents. New York Times. Sabrina.
Yes.
We're going back to our car.
Yes.
Thank you.
very, very jumpy here. Oh, a bunch of Molotov cocktails. Watch out, they're going to freak out if you take a picture. A bunch of Molotov cocktails here at the base of a tree. A box of, looks like they're actually in beer bottles. Oh, man. God, I still can't believe this is happening in Kyiv. So we're going down into the parking garage of this building where the firefight was outside of to talk to people. There's a trail of blood going into the parking garage. The gentleman who's leading us says it's a shelter. Cool. So we're going down into kind of a cavernous area, clearly. Parking garage, there are men and women walking up on the other side of us.
Can I go here? There's
no, woman. No.
There's a woman.
I'm walking along and seeing blood. I see blood on a footprint. So somebody's footprint with blood, and it's leading to a boot that is lying by itself. I can't tell. It's clearly wet, but I'm looking at the boot, and it seems to have... Oh, look. Look at the plastic. The plastic thing has blood on it as well. Yeah.
You think so?
God.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it is blood.
Yeah, it is blood. Oh. Okay, what happened here? The young man was saying that it happened around 4 or 5 in the morning, and he helped bring the wounded down into the parking garage that's now a bomb shelter. He's pointing out, look, there's the blood. There's the trail. He didn't die, he survived. He's in hospital now. Look at that's the trail of the blood, that's where he came from. We dragged him and we carried him with our hands.
We'll be right back.
I'm Jonathan Swan. I'm a White House reporter for the New York Times. I have a pretty unsentimental view of what we do. Our job as reporters is to dig out information that powerful people don't want published, to take you into rooms that you would not otherwise have access to understand how some of the big decisions shaping our country are being made. And then, painstakingly, to go back and check with sources, check with public documents, make sure the information is correct. This is not something you can outsource to AI. There's no robot that can go and talk to someone who was in the Situation Room and find out what was really said. In order to get actually original information that's not public, that requires human sources, we actually need journalists to do that. So as you may have gathered from this long riff, I'm asking you to consider subscribing to the New York Times. Independent journalism is important, and without you, we simply can't do it.
We're going upstairs to the blood donation. This appears to be some sort of a hospital or health center or something. And people are lined up along the stairs. Hello. So I'm a reporter from the New York Times. My name is Sabrina. Mm-hmm. What is
nice
your name?
Nice to meet you. My name is Sasha. Yeah, it's Irina. It's my sister, brother
Irina.
And sister.
Hi. Yes. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Why did you guys come today? What made you? What drew you here?
I think it's just little thing which we can do right now to support our guys who are fighting for our independence for our land.
I want to be Ukrainian. I'm okay on my land. I'm okay in my country. And it's just a little thing what I can do. I'm a psychologist. I support my people. And now I can take just a little of my blood to support the bodies of my people.
Yeah.
I'm crying, sorry.
It's okay. Did you sleep last night? How was last night for you?
Just a little bit, because it was bombing. And was sirens. Yeah, so we were scared just on the first day, but now it's okay. It's okay. We are together. We are on our land, and we will stay here.
Irina, how are you yourself feeling right now?
You know, I'm calm down and angry. I'm calm and angry, like I'm sometimes scared, but I'm calm.
And what is the anger?
Anger. You see this good weather, this wonderful weather. It's the sun. It's a spring. The birds is singing, and I want to live my peaceful life. I don't want to have war on my land. That's why I'm angry. Thank you.
It's 3:42 on Saturday. Driving around Kyiv, lots of boarded up windows and tape and plastic on windows to prevent them from shattering. Really, really has the look of a city that has closed down and expects a storm. I'm on my way to go inside the metro where people are taking shelter overnight. We've arrived. Metro is called University. Так, я буду через минут 20. Okay. Это я, наверное, оставлю. There's now a checkpoint to get into the metro, and the guy who's guarding it is asking me for my passport, so I have to show it to him.
Просить документы.
Да.
Я так думал, да, взял просто.
Hello. Можно пройти?
Можно. Просто у нас метро не працует. Поезда не працуют.
Окей. Ну я пойду посмотрю.
Да, смотри.
Talk to the ticket taker. She said the metro isn't working, but you're welcome to go down. It's about 3:30 p.m., so it's getting close to curfew. These Soviet metros are deep, built deep, deep into the ground. Because they were originally designed as bomb shelters by the Soviets in the event of a nuclear attack. This one is very deep off the street, has three escalators and white marble walls. And there's a giant kind of semicircle, very thick metal plated opening that is the entrance to it, but that can be closed up in the event of a bomb attack, kind of like being sealed up in a safe. So I'm walking down.
Hello.
One woman sitting there. So when I look and stare down this escalator, it's really almost as far as the eye can see. It is hard to overstate just how deep into the earth this escalator goes. And, I'm just going to walk down. It's going to take me a while. Still walking. Okay, we're getting close to the bottom. The train is just sitting on the tracks in front of them with its doors open. I see blankets, someone's black purse, a few wheelie bags in this one.
Hi.
A po-ruski.
Меня Сабрина зовут.
Юлия.
Ваше, вас зовут?
Андрей.
So Юлия and Андрей and two very, very cute little kids. А как их зовут?
Ия, Глеб.
Глеб, привет, Глеб. Hi, Ия. Ия, how old are you?
Сколько тебе лет, Саш?
Мне 4. 4. Ия says, I'm 4. And Глеб is a year and a half. Hi. How are you guys doing? Как вы поживаете здесь?
We're here for a second night. Вы ничего не слышали? How was last night? Did you hear anything? No, we didn't hear anything. I'm hoping that it will be safer than home.
Я не могу себе представить, что это происходит. У вас есть такое?
I'm saying, I can't understand that this is happening.
Я хочу как бы метафор, чтобы люди поняли, насколько это не верится.
It's just like a complete nightmare. It's like a movie.
Вас как зовут?
Лена.
Лена. So I'm speaking with Лена. Okay.
Сушка, рассказывай. Два маленьких детей у меня на руках. Мой папа и...
My grandmother told me how terrible it was when there was bombing, and she had two little children, about these age children. She grasped the two children to her chest, and the Germans were shooting down.
Лена, и тут то же самое. Это же ужас. За что?
This is like that. This is like my grandmother running from the Germans shooting. It's the same. I myself am a grandmother, and these are my grandchildren, and I am in the same situation. It's just impossible. It's impossible.
My father and my mother уже умерли, и они этого не видели. Вот это потому что это невозможно.
My father and mother have passed, and I'm really glad that they haven't seen this because it would be impossible for them to bear. These are my grandchildren. So it just, I just want it to finish as fast as it can.
Где работа? Где как нам теперь жить? Что делать?
What should we do? We're there's no work. We're not. My son-in-law isn't working. He can't work. The jobs are closed. But what to do? He can't. There's no money to feed the children.
То есть не вашего жизни.
Да, это нет, не может быть. Этого не может быть.
It just can't be. It cannot be. It cannot be my life.
Это наше время. Нельзя. Как?
Как быть? Мы не знаем.
Лена's saying, we don't know how to be. We just don't know. Everything was great. It was peaceful. Ой. It's hard. Да. All right. I'm going to go back up. Good luck, you guys. Удачи вам.
God meet us.
God be with us. God be with us. Now I'm walking out. Back up the longest stairway. Longest, deepest escalator in the city. Curfew's almost starting. Thank you.
On Sunday, as Russian and Ukrainian forces battled for control of Kyiv, the two countries agreed to hold their first negotiations since the war began. But even as the talks neared, Russia dispatched more troops to Kyiv. Satellite imagery showed a miles-long convoy of hundreds of Russian military vehicles bearing down on the capital city. Meanwhile, Western governments intensified their efforts to punish Russia and to rally around Ukraine. A growing list of European countries banned flights from Russia. The U.S. and the European Union imposed sanctions that personally targeted Russian President Vladimir Putin and his foreign secretary. And in an extraordinary declaration, Britain's foreign secretary said she would support British citizens who wanted to travel to Ukraine to fight against Russia. As of Sunday night, according to Ukrainian officials, Russia's assault has killed 352 Ukrainian civilians, including 14 children. We'll be right back. Here's what else you need to know today. Congressional Democrats are promising the swift confirmation of President Biden's first nominee to the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson, a federal appeals court judge who would be the first black woman to serve on the high court. All 50 Senate Democrats previously voted to confirm Jackson to the appeals court, a level of support that would be sufficient to put her on the Supreme Court. The question for Biden is how much support Brown will win from Senate Republicans.
Look, her nomination and her confirmation would or will be historic. And like anyone nominated by the President of the United States, she deserves a very careful look, a very deep dive.
Over the weekend, Republicans like Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, in an interview with CNN, said he was open-minded.
And I'll provide fresh eyes to that evaluation and hope that I'll be able to support her in the final analysis.
And U.S. regulators have issued new guidelines for living with COVID-19 that could allow about 70% of Americans to stop wearing masks and social distancing, including schools in certain communities. Unlike previous guidelines, which were based on the number of infections in a community, the new recommendations are based on measures such as COVID-related hospital admissions, which have fallen significantly. Today's episode was produced by Michael Simon Johnson, Caitlin Roberts, Asta Chaturvedi, and Alexandra Lee Young. It was edited by Larissa Anderson, Lisa Chow, and Lisa Tobin, and was engineered by Chris Wood. Original music by Dan Powell and Marion Lozano. Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsberg of Wonderly. Special thanks to Lindsay Adario, Andre Dubchak, Valerie Hopkins, and Mark Santora. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.